Well, we chose some hymns especially to line up with the message this morning, and we are in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5. Now, last week we were in chapter number 4, and exciting events are about to unfold. And here in chapter number 5, let's see what's next. Amen. Beginning in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, John said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you that the book of the Revelation is a revealing. Lord, it is an unveiling of not only the events to come, but Lord, it is an unveiling of your glory and your majesty and your divine plan for the ages. And Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are seated upon the throne. And Lord, everything in our day and in the days to come will unfold exactly as you have planned. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are our sovereign God and our King. Lord, we thank you for the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is with you in the midst of the throne. Lord, help us to exalt his name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week in chapter number 4, you'll remember that we saw that John was caught up to heaven and given an inside view of the events which are about to happen in the last days. Now, remember, when he arrived, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated upon the throne. And then we saw how the entire heavens were filled with the praises of God. But as we come to chapter number 5, suddenly we see a change. The worship has stopped, the praises have suddenly ceased, and all focus is on this book that is in the right hand of the one that sits upon the throne. Now, the word book here in chapter number 5 and verse 1 refers to an ancient type of book. You know, today we have a book in our hands, the most important book, amen, the Bible, the Word of God. But in biblical times, they did not have leather-bound, spined books as we do. They had scrolls. And this word book refers to a scroll. It was a scroll of writing that was rolled together. And just like an official Roman document, like a will or a legal document, this scroll had several seals. In fact, 7 seals on that scroll to seal it, to verify its authenticity and to secure it. Now, this was no ordinary scroll. Look with me there in verse number 1. Not only was there writing within, on the inside, but there was also writing without, on the backside. And as we see in chapter number 6, in time to come, as those seals are broken, as those seals are opened, they begin a chain of events that ultimately lead to the conclusion of the history of mankind as we know it. This was no ordinary scroll. This was, in fact, God's glorious plan of redemption to bring an end to the curse of sin, to bring an end to the influence of evil, and establish his righteous kingdom upon the earth. This was no ordinary scroll, my friends. No wonder all eyes were fixed upon the 7-sealed scroll that was in the right hand of God the Father on the throne. So we've seen the scroll. Notice next the search, there in verse number 2. The Bible tells us that a strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" So I cry went out into the entire universe, in fact, who is worthy to open this scroll? Who is worthy to break open those seals? Now remember, the only one that had the right, the worth, or the authority to break open those seals is the one who had the legal right to that document. And no man was able to open that document. You know, there have been many politicians in history, many men in history that have claimed the right and the desire to bring a new world order to this earth, have they not? There have been many dictators in the past that have said, trust in me and follow me, and we will experience an order and a peace that we want upon this earth. Many musicians have sang songs and written songs about their desire, perhaps even through their music, to change the world. You remember John Lennon's song, Imagine. But the problem was, his song included the reality of there being no God. Now his music, or the desires of these politicians, leaders, dictators, even religious leaders, have not and cannot bring upon this earth the order and the redemption and the righteousness that is ultimately to come. You see, when the search went out into heaven, no man was found worthy. And no wonder John wept, because he knew that without the opening of this scroll, he knew that the events will not unfold as God had planned, and God's glorious plan of redemption would not come to pass. Therefore, John wept. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a desire in your heart to see God's kingdom, His righteous kingdom, established on the earth? Do you have a desire in your heart to see a God visibly reigning over His creation? My friends, the time is coming. But John wept when no man was found, when no one could open the scroll. But look with me in chapter number 5 and verse number 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. You see, one of the elders cried out and said, don't weep, John. There's some good news. There is one that is worthy. There is one that is worthy, that has the authority, that has the power, that has the right to reclaim all creation unto himself. Well, who is that one? Look with me at the song in verse number 11. Revelation 5 verse 11 says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Let's read together verse 12. On to 1, 2, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You see, there is one that is worthy, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb of God. He is the one that is worthy. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us that Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He had the right. He is the one, the only one, who has the right to break open the seals of God. He's the only one that has the right to reclaim the world unto himself. He's the one, the only one, that is able to redeem. Amen. He is the one that is worthy. Now, before we move on to chapter number 6 and we see the seals broken and the judgments suddenly unfold upon the earth, God wants us here in chapter number 5 to look at the one who is worthy. He wants us to see that Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of all eternity. Amen. You see, the book of the Revelation is not a book of entertainment, and that you and I would replace Hollywood's doomsday destruction movie with perhaps an entertaining read of the book of the Revelation. My friends, the book of the Revelation is given to us to reveal the glory of Christ, to reveal the glory of God's majesty and His plan for all the ages. You see, before we get to the judgments, God wants us to see the judge. He wants us to see Christ. This morning, the title of my message is, Worthy is the Lamb. And we're going to look very briefly this morning at three reasons why Christ is worthy. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ the only one in the universe that is worthy to bring to pass the unfolding events of eternity. Well, notice first of all, He is worthy because of who He is. Amen? He is worthy because of who He is. Notice in verse number 5, the description of Christ given. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. The Bible tells us, first of all, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the conquering Lion. This is a statement of victory. Here we see the majesty of Christ. The Lord is described as a lion. Now, for those of you who have ever seen a lion before, the Bible uses the description of a lion to describe an animal that is powerful, that is strong, that is brave, that is majestic. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, amen? He is the Lord of Lords. He is the majestic, conquering King. The Bible tells us He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here we see the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, King David was seated on the throne of the nation of Israel, of the people of God. He was the king. And the Bible has told us that it's from the line of David that the Messiah will come, that one will be born into the world, God in the flesh, that will rule for eternity. Notice with me Isaiah chapter number 9 and the prophecy we are given concerning the line of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse 6. Now, many times we'll look at these verses around Christmas time when we think about the birth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are two sides to this prophecy, amen? Notice there in verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We know that's the past. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to be born in a manger. And the Bible tells us He was given to us as a Savior. The Bible says and talks about the past, then the Bible speaks about the future, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see, the Bible tells us of Christ's first coming, and then the Bible tells us of Christ's second coming. The Bible says that His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. My friends, Christ is coming again. And He Himself will establish His righteous kingdom upon the earth. He Himself will show Himself to be that conquering Lion, the victor over all. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one worthy to open the scrolls, because He is eternity. Amen. He is the Word. He is the truth. And He is the coming, conquering King. Notice there in verse number 5, back in Revelation 5, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, hath prevailed. Notice the word prevailed. That word prevail means to have victory, to conquer. Not just to be able to open the seals, but it refers to the fact that Christ is the one who is worthy to open the book, to open the seals of that scroll, because He is the one who holds in His hands the course of eternity. He is the one who is coming to this world, and He alone is worthy to open the book. And He alone will rule forever on the throne as King. Now, my friend, the kingdom of Christ has not come to earth yet. The Bible tells us He will physically and visibly come again to rule on this earth. Then there will be perfect justice. Then alone there will be perfect peace. But my friends, don't forget about the fact that He is coming. He is coming as the seals are broken open. they will unleash the events that will very quickly lead up to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the conquering lion, and that's why he's worthy of our worship. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. He is the one that is worthy of our desire, our attention, our life. Notice, not only is he the conquering lion, but he is also another representation. Now, as John heard about this lion of the tribe of Judah, as he heard the command to weep not, he turned around expecting to see this lion. But what did he see? He didn't see a lion in verse number 6. Notice what he said. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a, what? A lamb. And John must have thought, is this the conquering king? A lamb. Is this the one who can prevail and who is worthy to open the book? Is this the one who has the power and the right to reclaim his creation? Is he the one that is worthy, this lowly and weak lamb? And the answer to that question is, yes, he is. You see, the Bible tells us that as the lion, the Lord Jesus Christ is the conquering king. But you see, as the lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ is the conquering Savior. Amen. As the lamb, the Bible tells us, he is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And upon that old rugged cross, Christ defeated sin, death, hell, the devil once and for all. He is not only the lion, but he is also the lamb. You see, he is worthy of our worship because of who he is. In the Old Testament, the symbolism of the lamb is given with such great power and such great clarity. You remember there in Egypt, when God's people were in bondage and slavery, God was going to deliver them. And he instructed them regarding the Passover meal. The first Passover there in Egypt, they were instructed to take a young lamb. A lamb that is without blemish, without spot, is clean and flawless. And they were to take that lamb, and they were to kill that lamb, and then take the blood of that lamb and paint it upon the doorposts of that house. And the Lord said, when I come in judgment, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, in the Passover, the Lord gave his people a very, very powerful message, a very powerful picture of what the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do one day for the sins of mankind. You see, as John the Baptist saw the Lord approaching him upon this earth, as he saw the Messiah, do you remember what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is that Lamb. He is God the Son that has come into this world as the living sacrifice. And there on that cross, my friends, with his spotless, sinless, holy blood, he shed his blood to pay for your sins and mine. And the wonderful news of the message of the gospel this morning is, if we simply repent of our sins, and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we put our faith in him once and for all for forgiveness, we are cleansed from our sins, past, present, and future, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that it's his blood that cleanseth us from all unrighteousness, from all sin. And we are justified in the sight of a holy God. My friends, you and I deserve the fullness of God's judgment. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve his fullest judgment because we are all sinners. And he is holy. He is righteous. He is without sin. But thank God the Messiah has come. Thank God a Lamb has come into the world. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. My friends, God has provided a Lamb. We deserve eternal separation. We deserve eternal judgment in a place called the lake of fire. And there is a real place. The Lord Jesus Christ described it as a place of torment. He described it as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. He described it as a place of fire and brimstone. My friends, that's what we deserve. You might say, Pastor, my sins are not so bad. Sure, they're not so bad in your sight and mine. But in the sight of a holy God who is pure, who is righteous, who is sinless, we are unrighteous. and filthy in His sight. We have nothing good to offer the Lord, but He has everything good to offer us because He loved us. He sent His Son into the world so that we may be justified through His blood. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life where you realized that you were a condemned sinner like us all, headed to a place called hellfire? Was there a time in your life where you repented of your sins and cried out to Christ to save you once and for all, to forgive you and to be your Savior? My friends, has there been a time? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Now, notice with me there in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 6, we see that He's the crucified Lamb. But John said there in verse number 6, "And I saw a lamb as it had been slain." You see, John saw a lamb that as it had been slain. The word slain means to be butchered. Before that lamb's sacrifice could be offered to the Lord, it had to be slain. It had to be butchered. The word slain means to be butchered or in fact violently put to death, to be slaughtered. You see, at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was not given a crown of glory and a crown of royalty upon His brow, was He? No, the Lord Jesus Christ was given a crown of thorns that was hammered down onto His skull, and that pierced His skull and the blood came flowing down. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't given a royal robe, but a robe of mocking as the Roman soldiers beat His face and bruised it black and blue. The Lord wasn't given a royal worship or a royal throne room of praise, but He was given the praise of a whip, of a lash that tore His body so much that the Bible says His visage was marred beyond recognition. They could no longer identify Him as being a man. That's how greatly the Lord was slain. That's how greatly the Lamb of God was slain for us. And then when He went to that old rugged cross, His feet and His hands were gouged with nails. And upon that cross, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was suspended between heaven and earth. And there on that cross, His holy, sinless blood came flowing down for you and I. My friends, that is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He stayed upon that cross. Yes, He could have broken that cross in two. Yes, He could have broken the earth in two, but He stayed on that cross because of you, because of me, because of His joy, the book of Hebrews tells us, of His joy to redeem mankind unto Himself. That is His love. But notice with me, the marks of His love will still be seen in heaven. The Bible says John saw a lamb as it had been slain. You see, the marks on His body, the marks on His hands, reveal the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Sunday school teacher once asked one of her students, "Will there be anything man-made in heaven?" And a little boy, interestingly, spoke up and said to his teacher, "Yes, there will be." Surprisingly, she asked, "Well, what on earth will be man-made in heaven?" And that little boy wisely said, "The nail prints in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, He will bear the marks of His love for us for eternity. Do you see the love of the Lord Jesus this morning? Do you see His love for you? You see, John saw a lamb that it had been slain. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never seen Christ in this light before. Maybe you've been told lies about Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been told the lie that He's just another prophet, or just another teacher, or He's just another religious leader. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in the entire universe that is worthy. He alone is worthy of our praise. He alone is worthy to open the seals and to release the end time events. He alone is worthy to be our Savior, the only Savior from sin, because He paid for our sins. My friend, are you saved here this morning? Let me encourage you to come to the Lamb if you're not. The sacrifice has been made. The price for our redemption has been paid. All that is left is for you to come to Him as your Savior. And don't forget, remember, Christ is not only the Lamb, but He is also the Lion. Right now, He is the Lamb of God. He offers salvation to all who will receive. But one day the door of salvation will close. The Lord Jesus Christ will return as the Lion. As the Lamb, He is the Savior, but as the Lion, He is the Judge. and He is coming again. My friends, anyone can be saved, but there is not all eternity to wait. We must be saved before it's too late. If you're here with a doubt this morning, let me encourage you to see someone about that doubt. Christ is coming. The Bible says the time is at hand. And as we look through this wonderful book of the prophecy, the Lord Jesus is about to break open the seals thereof. Christ is worthy of our worship because of who He is, the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. Notice secondly, He is worthy because of where He is. Not only because of who He is, but because of where He is. Notice verse number 6. Where is this Lamb? What does the Bible say? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. The Lord was right there with God the Father in the midst of the throne. That's where John beheld Him. You know, at Christmas time, we enjoy remembering the scene of the manger and how the Lord came into this world in great poverty as an expression of His love, of His sacrifice. Remember, He became sin for us. He endured poverty for our sake so that we might become rich in salvation. Remember the Lord as He was born in that lowly manger, in that animal stable, where the King was so deservingly to be delivered from, but yet that's where He was born. But my friend, as we look back to the manger, He is no longer there, amen? Now you can go on a trip to the nation of Israel, and you can see the sites and locations where the Lord Jesus walked, and it must be a great experience to see the Sea of Galilee for yourself. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is not there, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the upper room. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the empty tomb, amen? For the empty tomb is open, it is empty, and the Lord is risen. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ deserves our worship because of where He is. My friends, He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in the midst of the throne, and He is exalted. He is glorified, and He is worshipped at the very throne of God. You see, that's why He is worthy. Our Lord is the King. He is in the midst of the throne. Now, verse number 6 tells us a couple of more things quickly. John saw a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now quickly, 7 is the number of perfection. So the 7 horns, as identified in Scripture, the horn describing power, the Bible describes to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb, has perfect power. He also has 7 eyes, which describe the fact that He has perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge. The Lord sees all. With eyes of flaming fire, the Lord's eyes pierce our very hearts. He knows our hearts this morning. He knows the hearts of the world this morning. And the 7 spirits describe the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the perfect fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, perfect presence and perfect sight and perfect power in the world. You see, Christ is our perfect Savior. He is our heavenly Savior. And it's interesting that as we've looked through chapter number 4 and we see the glory of God the Father upon the throne, it's only until verse number 6 that John saw the Lamb of God. That John saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne. You might say, well, how could he have missed it? How could he have not seen the Lord until now? Well, I think to myself that sometimes that's how we are as Christians too, are we not? We come to church. We come to the house of God and we forget what we already learnt in the previous chapters, that Christ is the one who walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He walks in the midst of His churches. When we come to church on Sundays, as we gather to worship the Lord, my friends, we are not coming to be pepped up with enthusiasm. We are not coming for an emotional or even a spiritual injection or boost. My friends, we are coming to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst this morning. One day we will see Him face to face, but this morning we see Him by faith. We need to remember that He is worthy of our worship because of where He is. He is all present, my friends. He is seated upon the throne of glory, but He is present with His people. We need to remember that He is with us. You know, the Lord Jesus walks with us in our daily lives. And so often we ignore Him, don't we? And yet even in that state that we're in, Christ invites us to come before the throne of grace, before the very throne of God by faith. We are invited to come and to fall down and to pray and to seek His face and depend upon His loving grace. My friends, the Lord is with us. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our lives. Let me encourage you to see this morning that Christ is the centerpiece of heaven. He's the centerpiece of eternity. And let's ask ourselves, is He the centerpiece of our lives? Do our lives revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does He stand at the door and knock? Is He begging to come into our hearts once again as Lord? As the one that is seated upon the throne of our hearts. You see, Christ is the centerpiece of heaven, but He's also the centerpiece of the revelation. And let's be reminded this morning that the Lord Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." What the Lord has started, He Himself will finish. And that's why He is the one that is worthy to break the seals, amen? That's why He is the one that is worthy of all praise, because of who He is. And also because of where He is, in heaven, exalted. Notice thirdly, He is worthy of our worship, not only because of who He is and where He is, but because of what He does. Notice there, in verse number 7, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. Verse 8, and when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took that scroll from the throne, from the right hand of God the Father, the weeping ended, amen, and the praising began. The Bible tells us that the four beasts we looked at last week and the 24 elders joined together in a new song of praise, a new song of worship. The Bible says that they had instruments of praise. Everyone had a harp. The Bible said they had prayers of praise. The Bible says that they had vials full of odors, of incense, if you will. Prayers of the saints that we will study in Revelation chapter number 6. But notice the words of their praise. You see, Christ is worthy. He is worthy of our lives. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our full surrender. Why? Because of what He does. The Bible says in verse 9, "For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You see, the Lord is worthy because He is the Redeemer. Amen. He redeems the lost. Now, don't miss it. That word redeem is a very precious and beautiful word. The word redeem comes from the slave markets of old. When a slave was taken in slavery, in order to be purchased, in order to be brought out from slavery, that slave needed to be redeemed. A price had to be paid in order for that slave to be set free. And God uses this word to describe your salvation and mine. You see, a price needed to be paid for our sins. And no one could pay it, my friend. You and I cannot pay it because we are all sinners. But you see, only the Lamb of God, whose blood is spotless, whose blood is holy, could pay the price for our sins. You see, once upon a time, you and I, when we were lost, we were in the slave market of sin. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the devil. We were slaves to the world. But you see, the Lord came and He paid the price in full. How were we redeemed? We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. You see, the price of redemption was paid by Christ. The price was paid in full. And that's why He deserves our all. Amen. You know, so often we live through life and we say to ourselves, well, I love the Lord and I want to live for the Lord. And yes, the Lord is first place in my life, but really we need to look at what we do and where we spend our time, and we need to ask the hard question, who is worthy? What is worthy? Where do I esteem the most worth in my life? Is it myself? Do I live a life of pleasure, of entertainment? You know, if that's how we spend our time, if that's how we spend our money, if that's where our thoughts are from day to day, how we can please ourselves and entertain ourselves to death, and how much money we can make, my friends, those things are the things that are worthy. Those are the things that we're praising. Those are the things that we worship. We don't worship the one that is worthy of our adoration. You see, Christ is worthy because he redeems the lost, because of his redemptive blood. And you see, in the upper room, when Thomas saw the now prince in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the same prince that John the apostle saw in the upper throne room of God. And they are the same now prince that you and I will see when we stand before the Lord and praise him and worship him. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll have nothing to boast about save in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There'll be no boasting about our achievements on earth. There'll be no boasting about our careers, about our money, about our homes. Everything will be left behind. And the only one that we will worship, the only one that we will praise, the only one that we will adore is the Lamb of God. Because of his precious blood. You see, that's why the elders worshipped him. That's why they fell down. That's why they gave him their praise. Because worthy is the Lamb, because of what he does. We see the price of redemption in his blood, but notice the plan of redemption. And what a beautiful message. The Bible says in verse 9, "For thou wast slain," past tense, amen, "thou wast slain." He's not being slain. The sacrifice is not continuing to be made, my friends. Amen. He has already been slain. Thank you, Lord. The price has been paid. But for who? For just Coastline Baptist Church? For who? What does the Bible say? "And thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred," every tribe, my friend, "and tongue," every language, "of every people around the world, of every nation, Christ has shed his holy blood." Why is he the only one that is worthy of our lives, of our hearts, of our souls, my friends? Because he is the Redeemer of the world. He is the only one that is worthy of our praise. You see, from the Alka Indians to the Aboriginals in Australia, the Lord shed his blood for them. From Africa to the Arabians, to the Americans, to the Australians, my friends, Christ's blood is the only Saviour. Is the only way of salvation. For God so loved the world, mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. See, without the Lord Jesus, the world would be in sin and headed to an eternity in hell. If Christ did not die on the cross, there would be no hope for anyone. No prophet, no religious leader, no ecumenical speaker could resolve the problem of sin. Christ is the only one. He is the only Saviour. He is the only Redeemer. And he is worthy of our worship this morning because his salvation is available to all. Now, in some countries, their religious teachings are only available for those who come from that background and culture, for those who understand their language. But my friends, the gospel is universal. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, it is a universal message. We don't believe in universalism, that everyone will be saved, but we believe that the gospel is universal and everyone can be saved if they choose to repent and receive Christ as Saviour. Thank God you don't need to be in this church to be saved. Amen. You could be wandering in the jungles of Africa, and a missionary can come with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that Ethiopian eunuch, amen, can repent of his sins on the way from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He can meet Philip on the road and receive Christ as his Savior and be saved forevermore. Amen. It is the gospel of eternity. He is worthy of our praise. He is the only one that's worthy of our worship. Because of what he does, he redeems the lost of all the world to himself. Notice verse number 10. And he will reign with his saints. The Bible says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, the Bible tells us when Christ comes to earth, there'll be a 1,000-year reign of the Lord's kingdom of righteousness on earth. The Bible says that he will come visibly and physically, and he will rule for 1,000 years. But the Bible tells us that as God's people, we shall be kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth with him. We are his ambassadors today, but we will be his priests in the days to come. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Now imagine that. 1,000 years. That's a long time. Amen. What an exciting time. What a privilege to be seated with Christ, with him, in his kingdom, serving him as his saints for 1,000 years. My friends, he is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our praise. My friends, the Christian life is the most exciting life that you and I could possibly live. Yes, I know the world offers its entertainment, but I tell you what, walk into that movie cinema, lose yourself in an imaginary world for a couple of hours, you might be distracted for a while, your emotions might start to flow and foolish dreams might start to well up within you, but the moment you leave that place, you're back to reality. Amen. And I find that many Christians are absolutely depressed, discouraged, diverted, distracted, because they're not giving the one who is worthy their attention. They're not enjoying the riches of the Christian life. My friends, when you put Christ upon the throne of your heart, the Christian life is an exciting life. What we're going to read in the chapters to come is very exciting. The time is at hand. We live in the last days. The end is coming, and we need to be a people more than ever on this earth to give our praises to the one who is worthy. My friends, your workmates don't need to see you as a Christian putting other things above the Lord. They need to see in your life that he is worthy. Your neighbors need to see in your life that he is worthy. Your relatives need to see in your life that he is worthy. And redemption is available for them. And he will rule with his saints. Well, in conclusion, he is worthy because of who he is, because of where he is, and because of what he does. As we conclude, from verses 11 to 14, we see simply that he is worthy to be worshipped. The Bible says in verse 11, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." As we look into these last verses of chapter number 5, we see a growing circle of worshippers. First, we see that Christ is worshipped around the throne, and then he is worshipped around all heaven. The Bible tells us that the number cannot be numbered. And then we see in verse 13 that finally he is worshipped throughout the entire universe. Verse 13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, Amen. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You see, the creatures around the throne worship him. The countless angels worship him. And all creation worships the Lord. Why? Because of what we've looked at all this morning. Because he is worthy. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. My friend, in eternity, everything revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's ask the hard question this morning. What does our life revolve around? Now, I know there are many responsibilities. We are all the same. We have responsibilities regarding our families. We have responsibilities as husbands to provide for our families. We need to work, amen. We need to spend time with our families. We need to invest our time in things that God has told us to. But Christ must always be the center of what we do in our families. Christ must always be the center of what we do in our workplace. Christ must always be the center of what we do with our lives. Young people, as you pray about what God wants you to do with your life, is Christ at the center of those plans? Or is it you? You know, I've been there and I've done that. And I've prayed for work and I've prayed for a career and I've prayed for money. And sometimes I got those things as a Christian. But they weren't worthy of my attention and praise. They brought no joy. They brought no satisfaction and they brought no fruit in my Christian life. But I'm thankful when the Lord got my attention at many times and still does, to seat Him back on the throne where He deserves. He reveals the fullness and the joy of the Christian life. He reveals the blessings of the Christian life. And He shows Himself to be much, much more worthy than we often take Him to be. Amen. He is worthy. Let me encourage you to see Christ afresh this morning. Amen. As the one who is worthy. As the one who must come first. As the worthy one. He is worthy because of who He is, the Lion and the Lamb. He suffered for our sins. My friend, are you saved here this morning? Are you under the blood of the Lamb? If not, my friend, today is the day of your salvation. Don't leave this place before you turn to Christ as your Savior. Find someone this morning to talk to, so we can show you from the Bible how you can be sure that your sins are forgiven and you've been redeemed and brought back to God. My friends, Christ is worthy because of where He is. He is in the midst of the throne of God. He is in the midst and He is coming again. And He is worthy because of what He does. He is the Redeemer of the world and He is coming to rule the world. We shall see Him as He is. As we close this morning, John saw what you and I one day will see. But you see, the book of the Revelation is a revealing. God says to us this morning, I want you to see Him as He is right now. I want you to see Him as He is today. Will we put Christ on the throne of our hearts as Christians? Will we allow Him to be the centerpiece of our lives? Let's not leave this place, amen, this morning, without making a decision to worship Him, to worship the Lord, not just on a Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, through our actions, through our words, and through our witness. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.